Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I am very well. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Everything is beautiful. Baruch Hashem. Thank God.
That's great. So we have a Parashat Vaigash, but before that, how was our event?
It was, you know what, it was absolutely beautiful. And the response that there was from all the people, Jews, non-Jews, it didn't make a difference. It was absolutely phenomenal. You know, it started at the mall, where we had a bigger turnout than we had last year, based on the numbers that I was able to see quickly and what other people were able to tell me. We gave a lot more latkes and donuts out this year. So we had a lot more people this year. And, you know, the legumino was beautiful. And then we went even further. On Thursday morning, I went with someone to deliver the actual menorah to the pediatrics wing at Windsor Regional, at Met.
Just to remind our listeners that the menorah was made from pieces of Lego.
Right, correct. The menorah made out of Lego. And we delivered it to the Metropolitan Hospital, the pediatrics wing. We set it up. And, you know, the media was there and everyone was there and, you know, board members and different members of the hospital. And we wanted to really find a kid, or a couple of kids, if we could, to be able to come, you know, and be there while we're giving the menorah, you know, have the pictures taken and so on. Fortunately, we weren't able to get any kids because a lot of the kids that were there, unfortunately, were in isolation. So, there was a kid that happened to be coming up at that period of time, which is nearly every day, every second day in the hospital. She's very, very terminally ill. It's a disease that they don't necessarily know what it is. She'll never be able to eat for the rest of her life. She's never eaten. She has a bag that she just carries, you know, like an IV that gives her some food. Who knows how long she has to live and so on. So we, you know, she came in and her eyes lit up and she was wearing a mask on her face. Her eyes lit up, you could see it, you know, she was smiling behind that mask. And she came up to me and says, "Can I take some Legos for my brother? He really, really likes to play Lego."
Yeah.
So I'm lucky, you know, we had a couple of pieces extra, so I gave her that. And, you know, I said, "Would you want a dreidel?" And, you know, obviously she couldn't have the chocolate gelt that was around her. So we gave her a dreidel, and we both were sitting on the table and were teaching each other how to spin the dreidel and so on. And that minute, for me, it was all worth the while of the month of preparation and the money spent and and everyone getting involved in making this Lego menorah to be able to brighten up this kid's life, you know, for just those couple of minutes. And that was one of the main reasons why we decided to do the Lego menorah, to be able to give back, not only to the community, but give back and try and lighten up a kid's life. And that was well worth the effort, on my part at least.
That's great.
So it was really nice, thank God. You know, it's going to stay up there. It's on display now till probably the first week or so in January, and then we will take the menorah apart, and we will donate, part of that Lego to the pediatrics wing so that they can, kids that are there can just come and play and forget about, you know, why they're there for at least a couple of minutes.
So that's a challenge for next year. The year before, last year, it was cans. It was from can to can, we can.
Yes, we can.
Yes. And this year, the menorah, and we have to think about something for next year.
That's right. You think, you know, when one event is over, okay, I got a couple of months. Now we're already started to put into ideas, you know, what would be the best idea for next year, and, you know, if anyone has ideas, they're more than welcome to suggest it, email the radio station, email me, whatever it may be, and we can maybe, between everyone's brainstorm, we can come up with a great idea.
That's great. So let's move to Parashat Vaigash.
Parashat Vaigash is a very fascinating.
We go down to Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. A very, very fascinating Torah portion where we see that Judah approaches Joseph, his brother, to plead for the release of Benjamin, who in the last week's Torah portion was remaining there as all the brothers came down to Egypt, obviously looking for food, and he was offering himself as a slave to Joseph, the Egyptian ruler, instead of that Benjamin should be able to go home. Benjamin should be able to go home. And upon witnessing his brother's loyalty to one another, Joseph decides at that period of time that he is going to reveal his identity to them. And he tells them, I am Joseph,
is my father
still alive?
Ani
Yosef or Davi Chai. And obviously the brothers were overcome with shame and remorse. How can they do such a terrible thing? However, Joseph comforted them, and it was not you who sent me here, he says to them, but God. It was all ordained from above to save us and the entire region. So, we see this interesting aspect that what Yosef tells his brother, he says, now, do not be sad, and let it not trouble you that you sold me here. Why? Because it was to preserve life that God sent me before you. You did not send me here, he tells them, but God. And he made me a father to Paro, in respect, because Paro gave him such power.
Yeah.
And he was now becoming the second viceroy, the ruler of all the land of Egypt. And this is what Joseph tells his brothers. And if you think about it, it's a phenomenal thing, because you could think that Joseph could have this anger, can have this bitterness, that how can his brothers, who he trusted, who treated him in such a way that no person would ever forgive the brothers, if you know something that would happen in that regard. So, if you think about it, there's a lesson from this. Just a couple of lines of Joseph is telling his brothers is phenomenal. It's got so much that we can derive from it. And most people, you know, in a similar situation of what would, as we just described, what would have happened with Joseph and his brothers, if it would have happened to us, we would have acted or reacted, shall I say, very, very differently. Because in hindsight, if you look about it, you think God's hand in the events which led up to Joseph being, you know, elevated to the royalty, it's very easy for us to view the entire story objectively. If you look at it from the beginning of the story to the end of the story, you see how everything works out amazingly. Joseph becomes the second to power, second in Egypt. He saves the day. For us to look at it objectively is amazing. However, Joseph had suffered the agony of being sold into slavery and being alone, you know, in an alien country. He was there for a long time. He was there for over two decades because of his brother's actions. And his ability to see beyond his personal pain and appreciate the divine strategy which brought him to Pharaoh's palace is, if you think about it, it's phenomenal. It's a testament to Joseph's self-control and his maturity of wisdom. Because we can spend thousands, a person can spend thousands of dollars on therapy, but a simple belief in God and the divine, what God does, may be all that a person really needs. Because through the course of their life, every person experiences the pain of being treated unjustly by others, and we go and we look for healers, and we go and look for people to try and help us, and although there are sentiments of anger and, you know, vengeance, if you look at those, they're very counterproductive and very often they're very destructive, because they are the natural reactions to such occurrences of someone being not nice to me. What's my natural reaction going to be? And unlike Joseph, we often don't even get to see the positive result of this mistreatment. Because while many people spend much time, energy, money, on various therapies, in many instances, I think, it's a simple belief in God and the divine providence is that this small little thing happened, and it's an antidote to the person's problem, because God is good, period. And at the end of the day, He controls everything which happens to us throughout our lives. And many people mistakenly believe that only natural catastrophes, such as, let's say non-contagious illness or freak accidents, those are controlled by God. However, wicked acts initiated by other people, people being that are disrespectful or anger me, people with free choice are not heavenly ordained. We just think they're simply bad. Because if you look at our parsha, the story of Joseph demonstrates the fallacy of this idea. Because if you think about it, yes, you know what? The brothers did something wrong. But what happened to Joseph was all part of the divine master plan.
Yeah.
There are those times when we are maltreated and we cannot see the benefit or purpose of the suffering, we've got to go and look in, what is God wanting us from this? What is it brought down in books? What does Chassidus say teaches us? It recommends a two-part therapeutic medication. On the first hand, forget about instant gratification. It can be many years before the reason for the suffering becomes apparent to us. Joseph, I'm going to go back to the whole story all the time, because this is how the lessons of what we can take out of this week's portion is. That Joseph was incarcerated for 12 years before Pharaoh summoned him to, you know, to decipher his dream.
Yeah.
He had 12 long years in prison to dwell on the injustice that was carried out by his brothers. Let's look at another story. The story of Purim is another example. Esther was snatched away from her Jewish home and compelled to marry a vicious king, and only 5 years later was God's plan understood at all. And secondly, strength of character is achieved through hardship and suffering. When do you really see the true colors of a person? When does it really come out? When a person is put into a lot of pressure. A person is put into a lot of, times are tough. Not everything is so easy. At that period of time, we see the real characteristics and the real person of who the person is really is. And in order for the Jewish people to receive the Torah, they first had to endure many decades of slavery in Egypt.
Yeah.
And only through difficulty, which is something that we can learn, does a person acquire sensitivity and empathy for others. And the person who is hurt by another and chooses to forgive rather than avenge, what do we see happen to that person? That person becomes a kinder and a greater person. So indeed, the suffering itself and the ability to rise above it all is in itself a divine gift. So when someone makes us get to the level that we want to beat the person over his head or whatever it may be, that he's literally making our lives so miserable, he's such a bad person. But maybe through this is something that we can overcome this. Forgive instead of revenge.
Yeah.
And this is something, it's such an important lesson. We can just look from the story of Joseph. Who would forgive someone that sells you and you're there for 12 years and decades? But he forgave. Because he saw there was a whole ultimate, was a master plan. And this is something that I think is so important that us, as human beings, that we can learn a very, very important lesson from this week's Torah portion.
Rabbi, thank you.
Thank you, and God willing, we will talk next week.
We will. And Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Have a great Shabbos.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Be well.